Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, this morning we're going to start a new sermon series over the summer, and if you want to get a head start on what's going on with everything, you can read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, Genesis 37. You can read it all the way to the end of Genesis if you want to, but Genesis 37 through about Genesis 49. To start things off this morning, we're not going to talk about Joseph at all. Well, maybe we will, because I'm Joseph too. I, Joseph, am not a great golfer, and I don't see Gary here this morning. I know Gary plays a lot of golf. Maybe Gary is on the line this morning. I am not a great golfer. I have a set of golf clubs. I have a pair of golf shoes. I enjoy playing golf, but I am no Tiger Woods. I am no Jack Nicklaus, if you know what I'm saying. The difference between Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus and their heydays and me is when they were at the peak of their careers, Tiger and Jack played every single day. They played every single day, year after year. For me, I haven't been on a golf course for 10 years, at least. It's been at least 10 years. It's been at least that long. They hit the driving range every day, developing their swing. And if you've ever played golf, you know golf is a game of muscle memory. It's really about training your muscles in order to position that ball. It's all about having the right type of swing. It's all about accuracy. If I swung a golf club today, I would probably throw my back out. As a matter of fact, I'm not allowed to play right now because I'm still in the recovery stage from my neck surgery from this past winter. Tiger and Jack were masters of their craft, literally masters of their craft, because they practiced day after day, year after year. I'm not even sure I could even make contact with a golf ball today if I took a swing at it, if I teed it up. You'd all probably have a good laugh if I tried to swing at a ball and I missed it. Three strikes and you're out. That's a different story. It's a different game. When Tiger and Jack found themselves in the heat of competition, what made them so great, when they found themselves in the heat of competition, when everything was on the line, they were so skilled, they were so practiced, they were so honed in their craft that their ability to place the ball perfectly where it needed to be placed was second nature. It was second nature. Certainly, both were gifted golfers, but they developed their giftedness into something special. They honed their craft. They practiced their skills to the point where they could perform under pressure without even thinking about it. It was just second nature. The second nature kicked in, and it enabled them to win the day, and it enabled them to become very rich men, because they practiced so much and their golf game was just second nature. Over the summer, we're going to be talking about what it means to be second nature Christians. All right? I want you to get that phrase ingrained in your mind. Am I a second nature Christian? What does that mean? What does that mean? We are not saved by the grace of Jesus simply to get a ticket into heaven. You know that? I think a lot of people think, oh, I get saved and I can just live the way I want to, and when I die, I'll go to heaven. That is not why Jesus saves us. He saves us so that we can get to heaven. Don't get me wrong. But we've been reconciled to God through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, not just to get to heaven, but to also be transformed into the people that he intended us to be transformed from the inside out. A few weeks ago, we focused on what this all means in Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be, as we study the story of Joseph this summer in Genesis, I'm going to continue to hearken back to Colossians chapter 1, 2, and 3, because there are some lessons about what it means to be a second nature Christian that link these two stories together. A couple of weeks ago in Colossians chapter 1, when we were all right here, we read once in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, to present us holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation if you continue in your faith. Remember, we talked that there was this conditional, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. To continue in our faith, to be established, firm, and not moved means to enter into a life of training, following Jesus Christ. It means to enter into a life of practice. We have to practice to become the people that God wants us to be through the saving grace of Jesus. We, as humanity, we are destined to be made holy by God. We were conformed in Christ's own image to be made holy. Part of that, I think, is done. The Bible teaches us it's done through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. When we accept what Jesus did on the cross for us personally, that begins the holy-making process in our hearts and in our souls. Part of that is done through that saving grace of Jesus. And then part of that is done as we practice our faith. We've heard that phrase before. Are you practicing your faith? Are you a practicing Christian? We're going to talk about what that means this summer. As part of, as we practice our faith every day in our lives, as we practice what it means to be a self, not a person who's self-centered, but a person who's other-centered, as we practice what it means to be a person of love and not selfishness, as we practice our faith and as we obey the word, we open ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit to continue working in us to make us holy, developing a second nature that allows us to live life in Christ like Tiger Woods plays golf. Amen?
Amen.
Are you asleep? The sun put you to sleep this morning? That's okay. That's okay. We are destined, though, to be made holy. And I think the best way to bring this to life is to go back and study the old ancient stories. And that's why we're going to focus on the story of Joseph. One of the things we discover first in Joseph's story is that our second nature is what takes over, not only when the pressure's on, like Jack and Tiger playing golf, but our second nature is what takes over when no one else is watching, when no one else is looking. Where you go when no one else around really defines what your second nature really is. At 17 years of age, Joseph was the youngest of 12 brothers. He was his father Jacob's favorite, the scripture tells us, because he was born to Jacob in Jacob's old age. Jacob loved Joseph very deeply because Joseph was a blessing in his life that he didn't expect. Jacob loved Joseph deeply, and Jacob favored Joseph so much that he made Joseph a special coat of many colors. As a matter of fact, I have a rainbow umbrella here today, and I imagine that Joseph's coat, can you open that umbrella? I would imagine that Joseph's coat looked somewhat like this umbrella today. It had all the different colors of the spectrum in it. Jacob favored Joseph so much that he made Joseph a special robe of many colors. The brothers of Joseph, the sons of Jacob, they were out tending their flocks one day. And while they were out in the countryside, while nobody was watching, they were misbehaving. And Joseph, like any good little brother, he ratted them out to dad.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm talking about? Any youngest children here? Andrew. See the brothers doing bad? He ratted them out to their dad, and they really, really did not like Joseph for ratting them out. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that they hated Joseph for it. They did not like it. And then on top of that, Joseph had these grandiose dreams. Not only did he rat his brothers out when they did wrong, but Joseph had these grandiose dreams. And in these dreams, his brothers and even his father, Jacob, bowed down to him in these dreams. And this was just really too much for the brothers to take. First, there was the fact that Joseph was the favorite. They had to be out tending the flocks, and Joseph got to stay back at home with Pops and take it easy. Then there was that coat of many colors, that like the umbrella here, the coat of many colors that the father gave to Joseph. He didn't give me a nice coat of many colors. I just got this burlap sack that I have to wear out in the fields tending the sheep. And then, on top of all that, he ratted him out. He was a snitch. Joseph was a snitch. He snitched on them when they did wrong things. And now he's dreaming about how he would rule over all of his brothers one day. Who did this chump think he was? Who did he think he was? So the brothers, like brothers do, the brothers hatched a plan. The brothers hatched a plan. When Father Jacob wasn't looking, they'd have a little something special planned for their little brother, Joseph. One day as the brothers were out grazing the flocks far away from home, Jacob sent Joseph to them to check in on them. Because, you know, he knew they misbehaved when nobody was watching. So he had Joseph go and check in on them so he could come back and tell him whether or not they were behaving. When they saw Joseph coming, his coat of many colors whipping in the wind out in the distance, some of them, they actually wanted to kill their little brother. Now, there's some enmity between Joseph and his brothers here when they actually want to take his life when no one else was looking. Their second nature. But Reuben, one of the older brothers, steps in and he convinces his brothers not to kill Joseph. Instead of murder, let's go after human trafficking. Because that's basically what they did. They sold Joseph into slavery and then they told Jacob that his youngest beloved son had been killed in the wilderness by wild animals. So what does this opening chapter in the life of Joseph tell us about? Just three quick lessons this morning for you. First of all, second nature is taught. Second nature is taught, not caught. Second nature is taught. It is something that we can learn. Just like Jack and Tiger took their giftedness for golf and developed it into something much more profitable and useful in their lives, our second nature is something that we can be taught. A lot of us like to box ourselves in and say, that's just the way I was born, Pastor. I'm always going to be that way. But I think the scripture tells us that there's a better way that Jesus wants to teach us in terms of how to live our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to become people of holiness. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to become people of character. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to become people of integrity. Because second nature is taught. It is learned. It is not something that's just caught. Note in Genesis 37, chapter 37, verse 2, I think it's interesting that the story of Joseph starts out this way. It doesn't say this is the account of Joseph. It says this is the account of Jacob. This is the story of Joseph is really the story of Jacob. It says this is the account of Jacob. While we view it as the story of Joseph, it really shows us a story about how Jacob raised his sons. Character and integrity isn't something we're just born with in our lives. As a matter of fact, we're probably born with the exact opposite of character and integrity. Character, integrity, holiness is something that needs to be taught, something that we need to learn. That's why we are disciples following Jesus, learning how to live a life of love, learning how to love God, learning how to love other people. Character, integrity, holiness is something that needs to be practiced. It needs to be practiced and honed so that when the pressure's on, what comes out of us is the love of Jesus Christ and not what we were originally packaged with as little selfish 2-year-old toddler children. Character, integrity, holiness is a matter of heart and habit. Holiness is a matter of heart and habit. It is not a hobby. Church is not a hobby. Our faith is not a hobby. It's something we practice. It's something that we make a matter of heart. Jacob's sons had heart problems. And I'm not talking about cardiac issues. Jacob's sons had heart issues. Joseph, let's start with Joseph. He had heart issues. You're like, wait a minute, Pastor. He's the hero of the story. He can do no wrong. But wait, there's more to the story this morning. That's right. Joseph had heart issues. Joseph was proud in his youth. He was arrogant. He was a punk. He was a real punk in his youth. While we like to make him out as the hero of the story, you know, if you ask his brothers, if you ask anybody else around, and they were like, oh, really? Favorite child, oh, really? Joseph took advantage of his father's favor. If we read the scriptures here, he took advantage of his father's favor. And I think as we read the scriptures, we can argue that he actually lorded his father's favor over his brothers. He was a punk in his young age. He had heart issues. And Jacob's other sons had heart issues also. Their second nature, as we see very clearly in this familiar story, their second nature was envy. Their second nature was jealousy. Their second nature was hatred for their brother. Their hearts were hardened by their own selfishness. While Jacob taught them to be good shepherds, he would pay the price later for failing to nurture their character and failing to nurture holiness in their hearts. Because holiness, character, integrity is as much taught as it is caught. That's the first lesson. Second lesson of this morning's story. This story teaches us that our true nature reveals itself when no one else is watching. What's really inside of us comes out when no one else is watching. Joseph makes a scene about his dreams to the brothers when Daddy isn't looking. Daddy isn't around, and he makes this scene and he really irritates him. And then he has the gall to actually do it in front of Dad too. And the brothers scheme to bring Joseph down when Daddy isn't around. When Daddy isn't around. When the cat's away, the mice will play, right? We all know that saying. When the cat's away, the mice will play. At first, they plot to murder Joseph, but then they settle for selling him into slavery and lying to Father Jacob that his favorite son was killed by a wild animal. When no one was looking, all of Joseph's sons were at their very worst. That was their original second nature. Finally, this opening story teaches us that while our self-centeredness claims to make us feel better, it makes others feel horrible. Think about that. Listen to that real quick. Our self-centeredness claims to make us feel better when we act on it, but it actually winds up making other people feel horrible. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 33 through 35, the sons lie to Jacob, reporting that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. They offer up his blood. They put blood all over his robe. Imagine blood on the umbrella this morning. They offer up his blood-stained coat of many colors as evidence that Joseph had been eaten by a wild animal. And it says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 34, then Jacob, he tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth, and he mourned for his son. You see what's happening here? They didn't just hurt Joseph. They didn't just hurt Joseph. Their selfish actions deeply wounded their father too. Their selfishness wounded, deeply hurt their father. While they did all of this to feel better because Joseph was a punk and they felt he deserved it. While they did that all to feel better, their father felt horrible. He felt horrible. This is a symptom of heart sickness. When our happiness, when our personal happiness, when what makes us feel good and what makes us feel comfortable comes at a cost to someone else, it's a sign, a sure sign that we probably have heart problems that we need to deal with. And that's a hard truth for us to recognize and to deal with. But when our happiness comes at a cost to someone else, it's a sure sign we may have a heart problem. So my question to you this morning as we wrap this up is, what type of golf game are you practicing? What type of golf game are we practicing? What kind of second nature comes out of you when no one else is around? Because when no one else is around, that's what really comes out. What comes out of us when we're under pressure reveals the true nature of our heart and our need for help, for heart healthiness. I'd love to tell you that you can take lessons to be a better person this morning, because that's what the world would like to tell us. Hey, just sign on up. You can take lessons and become a good person. But The reality, friends, is that there is nothing that we can do. There's nothing we can do that will make us holy and acceptable in God's eyes. The scripture teaches us that there's nothing we can personally do to make us good enough to be in God's presence. The first step to changing our second nature isn't a self-improvement class. The first step to our changing our second nature, to transforming it into something else, is to surrender our entire heart, mind, and soul to the authority of the Holy Spirit. I think there's a lot of people that run around Christian in name, but they have failed to take this step of surrendering heart, mind, and soul entirely to the authority of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Give the Holy Spirit control. Give the Holy Spirit permission to begin working in you. Have you given the Holy Spirit, have you truly given the Holy Spirit permission to work in your heart and your soul? Grant the Holy Spirit authority to begin changing you from the inside out, teaching you a new way to live, a new way to be. You have to grant the Holy Spirit authority. We're a people right now, some of us in our societies, when we look out there, have authority issues right now. There's a virus going around that can kill people, and they're telling us that if we wear a mask, it can prevent other people from getting sick. It can prevent me from unintentionally making somebody sick because I might not know that I have the virus. So when I get done here today and start moving around, I'll wear this mask. But we as a society, this mask has become a symbol for the authority issues that we have in our society right now. You're not going to tell me what to do. You don't have the authority to do that. I'm not going to wear that mask. You're trying to take my rights away. Authority issues. Folks, if you don't want to wear a mask, that's your right. You know? But I think this mask issue, it just really brings to life the authority issue that lingers and lurks deep within our hearts. Does God truly have the authority to coach you into a better golf game? You know, I can spend all sorts of money going to golf lessons and paying a golf expert to teach me how to swing the clubs and place the ball like Tiger or Jack. But if I do not give the golf coach the authority, and that means I do what he says I should do, I take his advice, and I incorporate it into my life, that's the sign that I give the golf coach authority in my life. But if I don't grant him authority, my game is going to be as rotten as it was when I started taking lessons. Have we granted the Holy Spirit true authority to coach us into holiness, to transform us from the inside out? Because you see, the Holy Spirit will not force himself on us. We have to give him control. We have to surrender our wills to the Holy Spirit. We, in our hearts, have to grant the Holy Spirit authority to govern our minds and our thoughts and our actions so that we can practice our faith in a way that begins allowing the Holy Spirit to do this supernatural work within our hearts to make us a different type of person from the inside out. Christ-likeness. Tiger Woods is not the goal for us as a Christian, but if you want to be the greatest golfer ever, you want to be like Tiger, right? Or you want to be like Jack Nicklaus. Jesus Christ is the goal. If we're going to train into something, we got to have a role model. Amen? Amen. We got to have a role model. Jesus is the goal. Jesus is our Tiger Woods, the one we aspire to be like. But becoming Christ-like, it is not easy. It is not natural to become Christ-like. It is supernatural to become Christ-like, changed from the inside out in our hearts and our souls. As a matter of fact, it's somewhat counter to the way that we are wired as human beings. It feels awkward. If you've ever swung a golf club, it has a certain type of feel to it. And it, you know, if you go to a coach and he tells you to change your swing and to change your grip, you know, you've learned how to swing that club on your own for so long, and then this coach comes along and tells you to swing that club a different way and to hold that club a different way, it doesn't feel natural. It feels awkward. And sometimes walking in holiness, learning to become Christ-like for people just like us, it's awkward. It's messy. And that's okay. That's what grace and mercy are all about. It's not natural. It's not the way we're wired, but it is the way that Jesus aspires for each of us to become. Why? Why does all this matter? Pastor, why are you even talking about this? Character, integrity, and holiness matter to God. And you want your pastor to be a person of character, integrity, and holiness, right? You want your pastors to be, you know, you're not going to hire a pastor or a pastoral couple like us if you don't test us and see if we have character, integrity, and holiness. You want that because they're your pastors. Well, we're a royal priesthood as people following Jesus. That's scriptural. We are all people who are called to become people of character, integrity, and holiness. It matters to God, and it matters to the people around us, too. The journey we're on is to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, submitting to the Holy Spirit, being changed from the inside out, until Christ-likeness, until holiness becomes second nature in all that we say and all that we do. And the call to action for each and every sermon I'm going to preach this summer is a call to holiness. It's a call to submitting our hearts to Jesus Christ. It's a call to allowing God to have the authority to tell us what to do so that we can be transformed from the inside out and made holy people. So my parting question for you, for all of us this morning as we respond to this opening chapter of Joseph, is what's our second nature? What do we do? Who are we when no one else is around? Who are we when no one else is watching? That's a good question to answer, because that's the starting point on a journey to becoming more Christ-like and becoming people of holiness. How do I become holy, Pastor? You got to let go of your authority issues. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to have the authority to actually check you, make you feel guilty when you're doing wrong, and teach you how to do right and be a person of love, a person of other-centered love, a person with a pure heart. Does the Holy Spirit have the authority to teach you how to become holy so that it's your second nature? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word this morning, Lord. We're thankful for these ancient stories that teach us about how you would desire for us to live our lives and what you would desire for us to become. Lord, I can't help but being challenged by the fact that the people that we are right now is not who you intended us to be. You've intended so much more for us. And this journey in this life of becoming holy people, people of character, people of integrity, people who do the right thing even when no one else is looking, people whose second nature is love. Lord, you're preparing us for eternity in heaven. Lord, we're thankful for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, that you cleanse us of our sins and the past. But Lord, help us to not miss the reality that you wish to bring us forward into the future, into eternal life with you, making us holy people so that we can be transformed from the inside out. Lord, we recognize this morning that it's by no act or good deed that we become holy, Lord, but it's by the power of your Holy Spirit working in us that we become holy people. And this morning, Father, as you challenge us to examine who we are when no one else is around, and to view that as the first step of a journey, Lord, we submit our hearts and our minds and our souls to you today. We give you permission to be our coach, to not only be our coach, but to be our provider and to be our healer and to be our redeemer and to be our savior, to be the one who makes us holy. Father, we're thankful for your love and your patience with us. And I pray, Father, that you would just plant in our hearts and minds that there is more to this life that we're living than what we're experiencing right now. There's more in this relationship with Jesus that you want us to experience and grow into than what we're experiencing right now. No matter how long we've been a Christian, no longer how long we've been in the church, Lord, there is more. There is a new level that you want to take us to if we would only give you the authority to coach us into a better second nature. Lord, go with us this week. I pray, Father, that you would bless each and every one of us with the power of your Holy Spirit, helping guide our decisions, our thoughts, our words, our actions. Lord, help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to those around us. Lord, we pray that you would be with those who are on the phone or watching on Facebook Live this morning. We pray, Father, that your blessing would fill each and every one as we go. May we be people of peace. May we be people of love. May we be people of your kingdom. And may it become second nature within us to be that type of person, because that's what you desire for each and every one of us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for our church family and this time we can spend together today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.